Blog Talk Radio.
So back in the day, if there was a problem emanating from your local TV station that would cause your favorite TV program to be interrupted, you'd hear that kind of catchy elevator type music that I played, and you'd probably see rainbow colors along with the words, "Please stand by," scrawled across your television screen. So last week I was in the middle of talking about Reds outfielder Billy Hamilton, and there was about a minute of dead air time. I fixed it within the first day of the release of the podcast. But if you were subjected to it, the living legend Joe Galina sincerely apologizes. And I assure you that the next time that does happen, hopefully there will never be a next time, but at least next time maybe I'll get you some cheesy music like the kind that I started the show with, all right? I promise you that. Also, last week we spent a lot of our time analyzing the living legend Joe Galina's top 21 fantasy baseball outfielders. We set out to give you our top 20, but out of the goodness of the living legend's heart, you got 21. That's just the kind of guy that the living legend is. There are still a ton of fantasy outfielders to talk about, but with this week's show, I want to take a slightly different approach, and we're not going to rank fantasy outfielders today. Instead, I want to take a look at some of the guys who had been perennial top-of-the-line fantasy outfielders, but for some reason just dropped off the face of the earth last season. Are they viable? Can they make a comeback? Where should you be taking them come draft day? On the other end of the spectrum, there were some outfielders who emerged out of a proverbial pile of ashes and put together some really big fantasy-relevant seasons. Are they one-hit wonders? Are they the kind of players that are
not going to amount to jack squat?
Or can we expect them to pick up where they left off and produce like superstars? I also want to talk about some of the potential sleepers who are expected to put up some big numbers this season. Are they worthy of the hype? I think some of them are, but then again, there are some who I wouldn't touch come draft day. I mean, this kind of show is a lot of fun. First of all,
digging talking with you. You're a really enlightened cat, and I like that about you.
That's right. I mean, based on the feedback that I'm getting from you, the audience, it's obvious that you guys know your stuff. But it's going to be a while before we know if our analysis today is going to be right or wrong. So we're going to take a lot of liberties, and remember, picking outfielders worthy of your fantasy team is not as easy as it looks. Sure, there are plenty of options. There's plenty of talent at that position. But come the 10th round, and even just a little bit later, you might find yourself looking around and wondering, well, where all of that talent disappeared to? Well, let's roll up our sleeves and dive right in. Let's take a good look at the rest of the fantasy baseball outfielders and their place in your 2015 fantasy baseball draft. Yes, I am the living legend, Joe Galina, and It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show starts right now! Okay, so for the past several weeks, I've been sharing my fantasy baseball draft tip of the week with you, sharing my knowledge with you. And this week is no different. It's time to go to school with the living legend.
Would you take me back to school? I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it. Just one more.
So this week's tip is really easy, and it makes a lot of sense. Well, of course it does, or I wouldn't be sharing it with you. I'd like you to start familiarizing yourself with the players who are going to be free agents at the end of this season. I like drafting guys who have that little extra incentive to play for, right? I mean, that includes guys like Detroit outfielder Yoenis Cespedes, who we're going to talk about a little bit later, Nationals pitcher Doug Fister, Baltimore catcher Matt Wieters, White Sox starting pitcher Jeff Samardzija, Nationals starter Jordan Zimmermann, newly acquired Cardinal outfielder Justin Hayward. I could go on and on. Pitchers David Price and Johnny Cueto. There are a bunch more. Those are some of the big names who not only have a lot of talent to start off with, but then you throw in the fact that they're going to be playing for a brand new, big, shiny new contract, and that makes them all that more attractive. Listen to the living legend and learn from the living legend. That's our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week. That was painless, wasn't it? Our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week has been brought to you by our sponsor, OrganicVibrations.com. If you're looking for the best in organic and natural products, please visit their site. Like them on Facebook. And that's it. School is out. So let's start with a few outfielders who had been fantasy mainstays. I mean, these guys had put up some really solid fantasy numbers for a long time. But all of a sudden, for some reason or another, they just hit a brick wall last season. Our first outfielder is from across the globe. We are going to be all over the map this week. And we're going to begin our journey in South Korea. Open Gangnam Style. Leading up to the 2014 Fantasy Baseball Draft, Shin-Soo Choo was one of my favorite outfielders to target. And Choo was a perennial 280 to 285 hitter who you could count on to hit about 20 home runs and steal about 20 bases every season. He had a similar skill set to that of Hunter Pence. And after a bunch of great years with the Indians and Reds, he had a tough inaugural campaign with the Texas Rangers in 2014, batting just 242 with 13 homers and 3 stolen bases. Now, he played hurt for most of last season, and finally the Rangers shut him down in mid-September, and he has since had off-season ankle and elbow surgery. Some of his peripheral stats were way off last season. He struck out more, he walked less, but how much of his downturn could be attributed to his having to live through an injury-plagued season? Well, it's hard to determine, but I do think it was a major factor. I think he's a great bounce-back candidate that you need to watch closely in spring training, see how he reacts, if I could speak. Last year, he was drafted somewhere around the 8th to 10th rounds, and although I've seen him get drafted as high as the 8th round this season, I've also seen him get picked up as late as the 11th, 13th, maybe even the 15th rounds. So my recommendation is to watch him in spring training. Like I said, do tons of mock drafts and get a better feel for how the fantasy baseball community feels about him this season. Hey, check out rotoballer.com. Log in to one of their free chat rooms. Ask your peers what they think of Shin-Soo Choo. That's a good way of doing your research. The living legend does like him as a sleeper pick. Jay Bruce. He's another outfielder who had an off year in 2014, Cincinnati Red. For his career, he has basically been a 250 hitter who made up for his relatively low batting average by regularly hitting 30-plus home runs and driving in 95-plus runs on a regular basis. Last season, Bruce struggled almightily. He registered career lows in home runs and batting average with 18 and 217 respectively. Well, actually, 217 is not really respective, but his average fly ball distance rate dropped from approximately 293 feet in 2013 to 284 feet in 2014. That's a fairly significant drop. He did miss almost 3 weeks last season in order to have surgery to repair a torn meniscus. And upon his return, he just could never get back on track. Perhaps he tried to come back too soon. Maybe he couldn't plant that knee down like he wanted to, and that affected his swing, and he couldn't generate his power swing like he had in the past. But there are some other troubling trends that come to the surface when you look at his numbers over the past few years. I mean, his strikeout percentage has risen in every year since 2009. His walk rate has gone down in every season since 2011. His fly ball rate, like I said, was down a bit in 2014. And that's never a good sign for a power hitter. If you want to signal that maybe last season was an aberration, just take a look at his extremely low BABIP, batting average with balls in play, which might mean that he hit into a bit of bad luck. Could also mean that he fell victim to the dreaded shift employed by so many team defenses last season. Do you want the living legends prediction? Of course you do, and that's why you're here. I think he bounces back a bit. Bats between 245 and 250 like he always had. Hits between 25 to 27 home runs and drives in maybe 75 to 80 runs. He also might even steal 7 to 10 bases for you as long as that meniscus is healthy. All right, Josh Hamilton. He used to like to But thankfully, he fought off all his demons and carved out a very nice career for himself. He signed a big long-term contract with the Angels, and unfortunately, he has not been anywhere near the player that he once was while a Texas Ranger. As a Ranger in 2012, he had 43 home runs and drove in 128 runs. but hasn't come close to that type of production ever since. Hamilton was predicting a big comeback year for himself in 2015, but in early February, earlier this month, it was announced that he would have to undergo shoulder surgery to help alleviate the pain caused by arthritis, and now he might not be ready for opening day. Now, Hamilton is being drafted somewhere around the 18th to the 20th rounds in the preseason drafts. I would shy away from him on draft day unless you can get him with one of your last few picks. I mean, if you don't get him on draft day, you watch his progress as the season starts, and then once you start to see a little glimmer of life, you can try trading for him. It's going to be tricky because you don't want to wait too long, and when you're trying to trade for him, the key is to buy him low. All right? Moving on, in his first three full seasons in the majors, Mark Trumbo was a virtual lock for 30 home runs and 90-plus RBIs. Sure, his batting average was suspect, right? You can never really expect more than a 250 batting average out of him, something like a Jay Bruce type of guy. But he's also eligible at first base and not only in the outfield. So last season, a foot injury limited him to just 88 games last season. I see no reason why he shouldn't be able to bounce back. If he gets his 550 at-bats and he's going to go back to hitting a bunch of home runs and driving in runs, I see him getting drafted as early as the 7th round in preseason drafts and even as late as the 11th round. So keep an eye on him. I think he's a bounce-back candidate as well. In the spirit of our tip of the week where I told you to focus in on players in their walk years, Jason Hayward is someone to focus in on. First, he's got a fresh start with a real good organization. Of course, I'm talking about St. Louis Cardinals, right? He got traded to the Cardinals, used to be on the Atlanta Braves. And his power production has really taken a beating since 2012 when he hit 27 home runs. That total dropped to just 11 last season. He's been playing, it seems like, forever, but he's only 25 years old, so he still has a lot of development going on there. I just think he is primed for a breakout season, and I think that the rest of the fantasy baseball community agrees with me since he's being drafted in the 4th and 5th rounds of most preseason drafts. Okay, I told you we were going to be all over the place on this podcast. We're going to take a trip from St. Louis, and we're going to head to... So why are we going to Cuba? We're going to Cuba because it's time to talk about Yanis Cespedes. And a lot of people gave me grief for not including the Cuban import and Detroit outfielder in my top 21 outfield rankings last week, but he sure could have been. He was right on the cusp of making the cut, and I think that basically describes him best as a fantasy outfielder. I don't think he should be in the same conversation as the Trouts and the McCutcheons. He's basically your number two fantasy outfielder. The only way I would consider him as your number one outfielder is if your early draft strategy involves focusing on a pitcher or a shortstop or a first or third baseman. He's basically a 260 hitter who's going to give you 25 home runs, 90 RBIs, and 10 stolen bases. Very good numbers, but I still consider him just a notch below that first tier of fantasy outfielders. He's getting drafted somewhere around the 4th or 5th rounds. Look, he's a very good player, but the fact that he is now playing for his third team in less than a year tells you there might be something a little off with this guy. And Pete Simpson, one of our listeners, he took me to task. Thanks for writing in. And I know you're upset with me about not including Cespedes in my original grouping of the top 20, or it was actually the top 21 fantasy outfielders. But that doesn't give you the right to say that about my mother. Listen, Pete.
I love my mama very much. Now you know that.
Yeah, Pete, so let's keep mothers out of this, okay? Oh, and by the way, don't forget that Cespedes is one of those players who's a free agent at the end of the season, so maybe his stats could be amplified a bit, all right? So keep that in mind. Let's stay in Cuba and talk about a real good potential sleeper. There's been so much talent to come out of Cuba over the years. Yeah, you know, the living legend doesn't like to get political, but if you follow current events other than sports, you know that the U.S. and Cuba, they're tempted to have better relations, and that legislation has been introduced to lift the trade embargo between these two countries. Maybe one day soon, we'll all be able to light up a Cuban cigar as we draft our future fantasy sports teams. I don't advocate smoking it to filthy, dirty, disgusting habit. But if you do smoke cigars, I'm sure that the prospect of getting your hands on a Cuban is making you happy right about now. But I digress, and we need to talk about Jorge Soler. S-O-L-E-R, right? Did I pronounce that right? He has been blessed with all the tools which on paper make him a big-time possible long-term sleep keeper. He's got raw power. He's had some leg injuries that have slowed him down a bit, but his minor league stats show that he has base-stealing potential, right? And while in the minors, he had a walk rate of over 10%, which shows that he's a patient hitter. Don't get me wrong, like many power hitters, he's prone to striking out a bunch as well, but all I'm saying is that he's not afraid to take a walk, which is a good thing. He got just under 100 at-bats in the majors last season, but he made the most of them, batting .292 with 5 home runs. I hate to do this because it's such a small sample, but if you project his numbers across a full season, he would have easily had over 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. I think he's for real. The earliest I saw him drafted was the 10th round. That's in preseason drafts. Sometimes he gets picked up a bit later, but although I think there have to be some growing pains, I think he is good enough to put together a year where if he gets his 450-plus at-bats, he's going to launch 20 to 25 home runs and drive in over 80 runs. And I'm going to predict that he bats somewhere around maybe 270 to 275. Right? So I was doing a mock draft the other day, and remember, that's one of our fantasy baseball draft tips of the week. That was actually, I think, the first one. And I was talking to some of the guys during the draft, you know, in that little chat option that a lot of these mock drafts have. I asked them for their sleeper pick, and you know who they all brought up? Mookie. Yeah, easy for you to say, Fred. That's right. We're talking about Mookie Betts. Right? He's the one that they all said was going to be a sleeper. He has sleeper written all over him, potentially eligible, not only at second base, but also the outfield. He's got some power potential for down the road, and you wouldn't know it to look at him. He's a pretty small guy, but for the short term, he can provide your fantasy team with speed, and he has shown that he can hit for average in the major leagues. He's a good contact hitter with tons of upside, but you may have to invest a pretty high draft pick on him because he's getting drafted around the 6th to 7th rounds of the preseason drafts. So we're going to move away from Betts. Let's take a look at a few guys who had breakout years last season and try to figure out if they will continue to progress or will they simply regress. Colorado Rocky outfielder Charlie Blackmon enjoyed a big breakout season last year, but can Blackmon put up similar numbers in 2015?
Sorry, Charlie.
But you are nowhere near the player who went nuts during the first month or so of last season. Blackmon had amassed a .374 batting average with 5 home runs and 18 RBIs. He did cool off big time after that hot start. And another red flag I see about Blackmon is that overall he did bat .331 at home, but only .241 on the road. But even though he's being drafted a bit too high for my liking this preseason, anywhere from the 4th to 6th rounds in some drafts, I think he is a decent option for your outfield. If you're in the type of league that lets you update your lineup on a daily basis, or if your roster is deep enough at the outfield position that you can sit him for a week when he's playing on the road, and you are diligent enough to keep up with that kind of stuff, Blackmon is someone you might want to consider drafting. He needs to walk a lot more. But for a guy who came out of nowhere and wasn't even drafted in the majority of league last season, he has made himself fantasy viable, and he is someone who can give you overall numbers of .285 batting average, total home runs in the upper teens, and maybe 20-plus stolen bases. So keep him in mind. Let's go back to Detroit, everybody. I tell you, you got to love Kiss. And J.D. Martinez was a product of Houston's minor league system, but the Astros had seen enough and released him. The Detroit Tigers took a chance on him and armed with a revamped swing, which helped him become more than just a pull hitter. Martinez finally had the breakout season that the Astros were too impatient to wait for. Last season, he had .315, 23 home runs, and drove in 76. And that's good enough to make him a 6th to 8th round pick in most preseason drafts right now. You need to beware that there might be a bit of regression due to an abnormally high BABIP last season that he had. Another year of batting in a lineup featuring Miggy and Victor Martinez, should help his progress a bit, but don't expect him to hit over 300 again this season. Look for maybe a 270, 275 average, 20 home runs, 80 RBIs from him this season. He should be a decent 3 or 4 outfielder on your fantasy team, all right? We've really been all over the map, but it's time to head south. It's too cold here. It's too cold in Detroit, too cold in the Northeast.
Welcome to my
Thank you, and Marcell Ozuna certainly made his presence felt in Miami in a big way last season as the 24-year-old Marlins outfielder hit 23 home runs, drove in 85 runs, and hit for a decent 269 average. He's always been a very good power hitter throughout his minor league career. He does strike out a ton. For instance, the major league average for a strikeout rate is 20%. Ozuna's rate last season was 27%. But he did improve upon his walk rate, which is a good sign. He's a bit streaky, but for the long haul, you're going to see him get stronger every year, and you're going to look to him as a 30 home run kind of guy every season. But for the upcoming season, I'm looking at him as a 265 average kind of guy, 25 home runs, 80 RBIs, and you look for him to get drafted anywhere from the 8th to 10th rounds. And I tell you, the Marlins really have a nice crop of young players. Christian Yelich, or Yelich, Y-E-L-I-C-H, he's garnering a lot of attention in preseason drafts. He's getting picked up starting in the 5th round. He's a speedster who does a good job of making contact with the ball. He's got developing power. He's hitting home runs in the minor leagues. And as he gets older and stronger, that's going to transfer into the majors. So, I mean, he's only 23 years old. He has the potential to become a 5-2 player. And there just aren't too many of them around anymore. And if you play in a keeper league, grab this guy while you can, because the best is truly yet to come. Moving over, we're going to take a look at Cole Calhoun from the Anaheim Angels. It took him a while to get going last season. He suffered a severe ankle injury early on in the year, but by June, he was on fire. He continued his streakiness by tailing off in August, and even more so in September. He tailed off even more so in September, trust me. I know firsthand. He's entering his age 27 season, which a lot of people get really excited about. He's got some power and speed potential. He's batting from the leadoff spot, and he has a good contact rate that suits him to be a very good leadoff hitter at the top of the Angels order. I'd like to see him walk a bit more, but with last season being his first full season in the majors, I think he's a player who still hasn't reached his full potential. He's a 6th or 7th round pick right now, and you're going to see maybe an uptick in his batting average. Let's say maybe he might bat 285, upper teen kind of home run power, and he should score a bunch of runs, let's say 90-plus, and he's also good for anywhere from 10 to 15 stolen bases. Next four guys are sleeper candidates. Two of them I like, two of them I don't like. Let's talk about the two I do like. Los Angeles Dodger Jock Peterson and Tampa Bay Rays Steven Souza. They're two players with similar skill sets, and that skill set is the potential to become 2020 guys for the next several years, all right? They got a bright future ahead of them. I'm a little bit more confident in Peterson. I think he has a better shot at getting regular at-bats this season. The Dodgers believe in him big time, so much so that they traded Matt Kemp away, right? Souza came up through the Nationals minor league system, and the Rays got him in a 3-way trade with the Padres. And, of course, the Nats were involved in a 3-way trade as well. Souza's a bit older than Peterson. He's going to be 26. Peterson is just 22. Both are being drafted in the 12th to 13th rounds of most drafts. Souza does drop down in some drafts. I've seen him go as low as 25th round in some league preseason drafts. But very high upside on both of these guys. And like I said, they have the potential to become 2020 guys for a long time. Right. Now, I was going to give Milwaukee Brewer outfielder Chris Davis one more chance. I had him on my team last year. I was very high on him last season. But from early May to late August, he did too well. He batted 270. He hit 16 of his 22 home runs during that span. But other than that, he was a nightmare. And like I said, I was going to give him a second chance. I was going to recommend you pick him up as a sleeper. But when I really looked at his numbers, I just couldn't do it. He doesn't walk enough, and he's so aggressive at the plate that pitchers can take advantage of him, right? They can exploit his inability to be able to consistently make contact with the ball. I mean, if you want to take a chance on him, he should be there for you pretty late. Looks as if he's being drafted somewhere between the 15th and 17th rounds of most preseason drafts. If you want to take a chance on him, like I said, you go for it, but I don't want any part of it. I hope I don't live to eat my words, but I just don't see him hitting better than 240 at best. Yes, he could slug maybe 20 to 25 home runs, and we keep on saying power's at a premium, but I just can't recommend him.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
San Diego Padre outfielder Will Myers is another young guy, 25 years old. I had intended to recommend him. He was AL Rookie of the Year in 2013, and there was a lot expected of him in 2014, but he got off to a real slow start, suffered a bad wrist injury, which caused him to miss a bunch of time, and he just never got going. I mean, his line drive percentage was way down, and remember, line drive hitters usually hit for a high average, so that's a bad sign. He hasn't been walking as much as he used to in his minor league career. Living legend just can't seem to get jazzed about him. Like I said, I was going to recommend him, but taking a closer look at his numbers, I just can't do it. I can't recommend him to you. I've seen him getting drafted as late as the 15th round, but I think playing in Petco Park is going to hinder his development as a power hitter. I'm thinking maybe he's a 275 batting average kind of guy right now, maybe 12 home runs and 10 stolen bases coming up this season. I mean, there are just a ton of more guys that we could talk about. How about a couple of veterans that I think have seen better days, like Washington's Jason Worth and the New York Mets' Curtis Granderson. I'm a Yankee fan, so I like Granderson. I like what he did for us. the Mets, they've moved in their fences at Citi Field, and Granderson's going to hit his 25-plus home runs, but I'm sure he's going to struggle to bat over 230. I mean, that's basically what he is right now, a 230 hitter who has some pop in his bat. How about a veteran like Carlos Beltran? Does he have anything left? Maybe a little bit, but remember, he's always wanted to be a Yankee, and he'll be healthy this year, but he's there for you in the 17th round in a lot of drafts. Want to get younger? How about a 23-year-old Minnesota Twin, Oswaldo Arcia? Can he do anything else besides hit home runs? I mean, he's another guy who just can't hit for average. He's just a one-trick pony at this point. How's Brandon Moss going to do? I mean, he's eligible at first base as well as the outfield. Is he going to be ready for opening day after having hip surgery in October? Is he going to be hot in Cleveland, his new home? I mean, we could go on and on and on. But the living legend is done talking about fantasy outfielders for now. He's putting his foot down.
Because that's the bottom line.
Because the living legend. That's right. We need to start getting ready for spring training. Within the next few weeks, our focus is going to turn to pitchers and catchers. And coincidentally, pitchers and catchers will be reporting to the Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues within the next few days. Remember, we do pre-tape our shows. This show was originally submitted on February 16, 2015. Sorry, we're about a day or two late. Like to try to get these shows out on either a Saturday or Sunday for you. I want to thank you for listening in. Remember to reach out to me on Twitter at Joe Galina, at JoeGallina. If you have any questions regarding your fantasy draft, if you have any trade questions, just reach out to me. Also, please let me know what you think about the show. I especially want to hear from you if you don't like the podcast. Again, my Twitter handle is at JoeGallina. You also really need to visit rotoballer.com. I write articles for them. It's a great site for fantasy sports aficionados like yourself. There's just a ton of new content coming out every day. Don't forget, there's free live chat rooms where you can talk to your peers and get fantasy advice or just talk fantasy sports. And it's really a great website that has a lot of tools that's going to help you prepare for your upcoming draft. Check it out, rotoballer.com, rotoballer.com. Also, don't forget to visit organicvibrations.com. They are your one-stop shop for pure and organic products. They've also got a great blog as well as a Facebook page that has a bunch of links to really good, informative articles. Thanks again for tuning into the podcast. We're growing big time. We're growing big time. Our listenership has gone up more than 100% since January, so that's really awesome. Can't thank you all enough. Tune in next time where we're going to analyze the fantasy baseball catcher position. I want to thank our guests. We had Vince Vaughn, Dana Carvey, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Fred Flintstone, Kiss, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler. If I left anyone out, I'm very, very sorry. But in the meantime, you need to keep moving straight ahead. And by doing so, all of your fantasies will become realities. I am the living legend, Joe Galina. Tell all your friends, family, and neighbors to listen in to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. Catch you all next weekend.